In the name of the one God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Information is everywhere. At no time in the history of the world has there been as much information so readily available as we have right now. If you want to learn how to remove someone's gallbladder, you just go on your computer and type into Google, gallbladder surgery. And you'll get all sorts of charts and diagrams and step-by-step instructions on how to remove someone's gallbladder. You can even watch YouTube videos that show real gallbladder surgeries. And so I can spend the time and I can watch all of this. I can sort of digest all of this information, and I might be able to even have an intelligent conversation with someone about gallbladder surgeries. But I'm willing to bet no one here would want me to take their gallbladder out. Would you? It's a lot cheaper if I do it. Just do it on my kitchen table. Now, you wouldn't want me to do it because even if I had all of that information, I lack the wisdom of a surgeon. You see, wisdom is more than just the possession of information. It's the ability to know how to use that information properly. It relates to things like technical knowledge and skill and craftsmanship, rather than just intellectual knowledge. The ancient Israelites believed that true wisdom came from God, and that it gave them the best way of living the human life. Now, some of this wisdom is what we would simply call common sense, but there's a lot of God's wisdom that is contrary to the ways of the world. The cross is a shining example of this. Paul himself says in 2 Corinthians that the word of the cross is folly to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. And later in what we read from the Old Testament, if you read a few verses farther, in Proverbs 9:10, it says, "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the Holy One is insight." So how do we acquire this wisdom? How do we take it for our own? This morning, I'd like to answer that question by looking at our reading from Proverbs chapter 9. So feel free to follow along in your bulletin or in your pew Bible. The first thing we see, well, actually, before I start, just a little disclaimer. In our reading from Proverbs today, and in the author's discussion on wisdom, he's using a common poetic device where he's personifying wisdom. And so I think a lot of people have gotten really confused when this happens. We have to understand that this is a literary device that's being used. And so we're going to sort of understand it in that way as we talk about wisdom this morning. So when I refer to wisdom as she, I'm not speaking about wisdom as an actual person, but I'm just using the poetic devices that the psalmist or the author of Proverbs is using. So the first thing that we see in our reading from Proverbs is that wisdom builds a dwelling place for herself. Our lesson begins by telling us wisdom has built her house. She has hewn her seven pillars. So this is no ordinary building. When we're told that she has hewn seven pillars, it's meant to bring to mind a massive structure more akin to a temple than an individual home. The image is meant to convey not only grandeur, but also stability. It will not be shaken or raised. It will be around long after the surrounding buildings have fallen into disrepair and been torn down. What an appropriate image of God's wisdom. While everything else around it moves and shifts, she remains steadfast. Like a concrete shelter that's in the midst of cheaply constructed clapboard houses, she will withstand the storm when everything else is blown away. So if we wish to acquire the wisdom of God, we need to go to her dwelling place. So where is it? We can't just think really hard and get it. We can't go sit up on a mountain and just hope that God's wisdom comes to us. We need to go where wisdom dwells and where she has been revealed. Now, in the Old Testament, the home of wisdom was Israel. It was through these chosen people that God chose to reveal himself to the world. Israel was blessed to be a blessing, to show the rest of the world not only who God is, but how to worship him and how to live by his statutes. God's wisdom spoke through the people of Israel, through King David and King Solomon, through the patriarchs and through the prophets. Through wisdom, Israel received the law and developed a society that was very unique because it wasn't based on power and might, but rather it was based on justice and righteousness. Today, the wisdom of God dwells in the church, the body of Christ on earth. Now, when I speak of the church, I'm not talking about a particular denomination or a specific institution, but rather I'm referring to the body of believers around the world. When we say in the Creed that we believe in one holy Catholic and apostolic church, this is what we're referring to. We don't mean just the Anglicans. The universal church is not bound together by denomination or organizational structure, but rather it's bound together through faith in Jesus Christ and in his resurrection. And it's through Jesus' death and resurrection and by virtue of our own baptisms that we, the church, have been commissioned to be the repository of God's wisdom. So if you want to find wisdom, you must start by going to where she dwells. And yet so often we seek God's wisdom in the wrong places. Everyone from Judge Judy to Kanye West will offer wise words for people to live by, but that's the wisdom of the world. That's the wisdom of sin and death. If we want to find God's wisdom, we must start by coming to the church. However, wisdom is about much more than just showing up for a church service on Sunday mornings. In verse 2, we're told that wisdom has slaughtered her beasts. She has mixed her wine. She has also set her table. Now, once again, the imagery in Proverbs is important. In the midst of this grand edifice that wisdom has built, she prepares a great feast. This is more than just meager bread and water to sustain us until the next day. It's a celebration of abundance where absolutely nothing is lacking. There's plenty of food to go around, and nobody is to be left hungry. In the same way, through the church, we receive God's wisdom in abundance through the power of the Holy Spirit. Now, the primary source, the main dish, if you will, of God's wisdom is Holy Scripture. And this is an incredible gift to have God's Word revealed to us in the pages of the Bible. And so why is it that so many Christians fail to take advantage of this great gift? Imagine going to a huge buffet that's overflowing with food. There's roast beef and fried chicken, baked beans and cornbread, banana pudding, and chocolate cake. Anything and everything you could ever want is right there on display, piping hot, ready to be eaten. So would you go up to that buffet and take a piece of wilted lettuce, go back to your seat, nibble on that lettuce, and then complain that you're hungry? No, that would be absolutely ridiculous to do something like that. And yet, that's what so many of us do when it comes to pursuing the wisdom of God. God has laid it out in abundance before us, but we fail to feast on it daily. We put God's Word on a shelf and we refuse to engage it. And as a result, we're led astray by the wisdom of the world. Wisdom has set her table for us in Holy Scripture, and the meal is ready for us. But we need to come and we need to be fed, and we need to be fed regularly. Now, some of you might be thinking, well, can't I just do this on my own? Why do I need to come to the church? I should be able to skip the first part and just read my Bible, right? Well, my answer to that is actually no. The Christian life is not a solo endeavor. Think for a minute about what makes a feast great. Now, you certainly need good food, that's a given. But what else do you need? You need fellowship. You need people to share that meal with. One person does not make a feast. Good food and good drink are so much better when you have people to share it with. You need people there to pass the potatoes and pour the wine. And in the same way, the banquet of God's wisdom in Holy Scripture is meant to be enjoyed with others. And this can come in many different forms. There's sermons and classes on Sunday mornings. There's small group Bible studies throughout the week. We can read books and magazine articles. We can go to conferences and retreats. I know for a fact that in my life I have acquired much more wisdom when I'm studying Scripture with other people than I do when I'm just looking at it on my own. Now, don't get me wrong, I'm not saying we ought not to read our Bibles by ourselves. There are many times I'll eat meals by myself because I need to be sustained from day to day. But at the same time, I always love looking for opportunities to enjoy a meal with other people, to have fellowship while I dine. One of the best parts of my day is when we get together as a family at night and eat together and share our lives from that day. And so in the same way, we ought to always be looking for opportunities to feast on God's Word with our Christian family. Now finally, our reading this morning concludes by telling us that wisdom invites all of us to come to her. She has sent out her young women to call from the highest places in the town. Whoever is simple, let him turn in here. To him who lacks sense, she says, come, eat of my bread and drink of the wine I have mixed. Leave your simple ways and live and walk in the way of insight. I had a young lady in my youth group once who was a brilliant artist. She could do things with a camera and a computer that would just blow your mind, and I often envied her incredible creativity. However, like many creative, right-brain dominant people, she really struggled with math. And I remember watching her toil away with a math tutor her entire senior year of high school, just trying to pass Algebra 2. Because her brain just didn't work that way. She just didn't grasp those concepts. And I think sometimes we have a misconception that that's how God's wisdom works as well. That it's available to some people, to the theologians and the clergy and the holy saints. But for most normal everyday people, we're just left scratching our heads and wondering what's going on. But I will tell you that that is absolutely, positively untrue. Wisdom invites all people to partake of her bounty, from the brilliant to the simple, because we're not empowered to receive God's wisdom through our intellect, but rather through the Holy Spirit. Wisdom invites all people to partake of her bounty. God's wisdom is not a puzzle to be solved or a mystery to be cracked. It is plain and it is available to all who come. James 1, chapter 1, verse 5 tells us, "If any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask God, who gives generously to all without reproach, and it will be given him." I knew a man when I was in college named Bruce Randolph, and his father had been a great community leader and philanthropist in the poorest sections of Denver during the 1960s and 70s. And Bruce had taken his father's great legacy and brought it to Boulder. And he ran a barbecue joint that wasn't too far from the famous Pearl Street Mall. And he never turned away a hungry person, no matter his ability to pay for a meal. Now, Bruce wasn't the most educated person in the world. I don't think he held any advanced degrees. I'm pretty sure he had never published an article in a scholarly journal. But Bruce was one of the wisest men I have ever met. We used to go into his barbecue place in college and just sit and listen to him talk at us. It wasn't the wisdom of man that he shared, but rather it was the wisdom of God. And a large part of Bruce's ability to acquire God's wisdom was actually his humility. I've known so many smart people for whom their own intelligence gets in their way. They're constantly trying to second guess God, to think of better ways of doing things. But that wasn't Bruce. He simply submitted himself to Scripture. He submitted himself to the wisdom of God. He got out of the Holy Spirit's way. He didn't rely on his intellect. He just submitted. And he was humble. And this great wisdom of God is available to all of us. But acquiring it is not a passive pursuit. We don't just ask for it and poof, it shows up in 2 days on our front porch in an Amazon Prime box. The Lord will give wisdom to all who ask, but we have to pursue it. We have to be active. We do this by first coming to the church where God's wisdom dwells. Next, we have to make sure we partake of the feast of God's Word that is available to us in the church through Holy Scripture. And then we need to humble ourselves to receive it. Now, ultimately, wisdom is about more than acquiring information. It's about learning how to apply that information to our lives. And this can only happen through the power of the Holy Spirit and through living out the words of Scripture in our everyday lives. You see, I can read all sorts of books on how to build a bookshelf. And I can watch someone who knows what they're doing build a bookshelf. But if I really want to become good at it, if I want to actually know how to build a bookshelf, at some point I'm going to have to build one. If we're going to have the wisdom of God, there comes a point where we simply have to start living out the things that we have learned. There comes a time when we have to take that knowledge and put it into practice. Now, today we began our fall education classes for children, teens, and adults. Now, this isn't just so we have something to say that we're doing. It's not simply something to occupy our time between services. But education is important for all Christians. None of us have graduated from Christianity. We are always to be learning. We are always to be exploring. We are always to be pursuing. And so take advantage of this opportunity to gain knowledge and seek God's wisdom. But don't forget to live it out, to apply it to your life, to experience it in everything that you do. Because wisdom is a gift that the Holy Spirit gives us. And it's a gift that is available to all of us. So if you've not already done so, make a commitment today to seek her out, to come into her, and to live by her. Amen.